And that's the, so that's the key component, and you've got to systematize it, and you've got to make it easy for your customers, your prospects, and even those folks that are unhappy with you to tell you the things that are important. We're talking, yeah, maybe it's, you know, some, you know, survey reply cards in some businesses. Maybe it's, you know, some online polls for the online businesses. I mean, that's a start, but you definitely have to get a lot more, you know, detailed and a lot more specific once you're ready to start putting marketing pieces together and putting headlines together and putting ad copy together so that you can communicate with the target market that's out there. You know, I said a few minutes ago that it's not, you know, it's not an infinite world. This marketing process is not this infinite universe of, you know, there's so much to do, I can't get it done. I mean, you know, granted, there is a lot to do. And there's a lot of ways to communicate, but when you boil it down, you can either only say something to another person, you can either show them, or you can put it down on paper or on a computer where they can read it. But there's no other way to communicate to other people. We can't mentally and telepathically send our thoughts to folks just yet. So if you don't know what to type, write, say, or speak, you know, put in some kind of a physical form, then you're going to sound like everybody else that's out there, and then you're going to turn around and get mixed up in all the other wasted efforts that people end up doing in a lot of the small business industries.
So what about then if I'm kind of the opposite to exactly what you said, where I don't have a business that's totally unique. It's not something that I feel I've suddenly developed something that no one else has done, and I can't use anything else that any other business has done. What if I'm a business that, online especially, is in an extremely crowded marketplace, for example, like online marketing?
Online marketing.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got, instead of having, you know, offline, you know, maybe you're going to have two or three stores on the same block that are selling you know, furniture or electronics or whatever. But, I mean, you Google something like online marketing and you get 50 million results. So how would I become a leader in an industry where basically all the millions and millions of other websites that are my competition are just as accessible as I am, or even, maybe even more so, to my prospects? How am I going to actually get to them?
That's a great question, and, you know, the reality of it is it's funny that you actually started out with, you know, the traditional offline type business being less competitive than the online business. And the fact of the matter is it's 2006 when we're recording this, and, you know, whether you're an online business or an offline business, your customer, your prospect, they go online to research, you know, whatever it is that you're going to sell before they buy it. And the, you know, the fact of the matter is there's a ton of very competitive industries, both online and offline, and the internet is not doing anything but making it much easier for more competition to enter the market. I mean, it's lowering the barrier to entry of literally almost every kind of business model so that you can, you know, wake up one morning and find that you are competing, your retail store, your furniture store is competing directly with a manufacturer from China. And, you know, people are saying, oh, well, you know, I've just ordered or bought something, you know, online from, you know, directly from a manufacturer, or, you know, I ordered it online and bought it directly from, you know, the local, you know, Sears or furniture store that's national here, and it's competing against or biting into that, you know, small business person's business that's, you know, that they've been, you know, fortunate or successful for quite some time to be able to take advantage of some local business, but now the internet's opened it up where it really makes it difficult for even offline businesses. But, you know, with regards to online marketing and things that are specifically, or businesses that are specifically online, and competition is extremely rampant in a lot of these areas, my first suggestion is go run, duck, and hide. But I mean, you know, the reality of it is if you jump into something competitive like online marketing and you haven't been around for a while, be prepared to get very good at what you do. Gone are the days of, hey, I'll just take somebody else's information, polish it up a little bit, put my name on it, and then go out and start selling it as well and make a little bit of money too. I mean, that's, you know, maybe those were, you know, very early on, you know, online marketing, you know, days, but that's those days are gone. So unless you are, you know, prepared to really become a very good online marketing, I will say, both guru and student, then you will find that it's going to be a very tough and uphill battle acquiring the ability to make yourself different, more unique, or special than the competitors that are out there. But all that said and done, when you find a or an industry that is very competitive, that's a great sign. For a marketing person, that's a sign that you have a market that will sustain a lot of players. And if you've got a market that will sustain a lot of players, there's a lot of money flowing in that market. And if there's a lot of money flowing in that market, then you have to figure out what you need to do to put your net in that cash flow and then extract the amount that you feel is worth your time, energy, and effort to be in that competitive industry. So finding the ability to differentiate yourself requires innovation. And innovation, when people hear that word, they usually think or they usually think high-end, expensive process they have to invest in. But they don't realize that innovation can be something as simple as changing an offer that is made in their industry so it is different than any other offer that's being made by the competitors. Or it can be as simple as partnering up with somebody else that has a collaborative or a enhancement to what you're offering so that you can bring more to the table than what the traditional business or the traditional resources, the traditional providers are bringing to the table. Again, innovating what you're making available. So, you know, at the end of the day, what it all boils down to is making sure that you really understand what we call is the marketing equation. It's helping you differentiate yourself from the competitors that are out there. So if there's one or a handful or if there's 100,000 and, you know, there's so many pages on Google, you'll never get to the last page of all the competitors that are out there. The fact of the matter is your focus is on trying to separate yourself from the competitive landscape and differentiate yourself so that you become the obvious choice to do business with. And the marketing equation is at the heart of this practice. And it's called an equation because that's exactly what it is. And incidentally, the marketing equation, you can find the marketing equation if you just go to www.mymondemand.com. That's short for Monopolize Your Marketplace, ondemand.com. But you go to mymondemand.com, and it'll spell out the marketing equation that I'm about to tell you. But for the most part, this equation is just like any other, you know, like a mathematical equation. If I were to say, Terry, I want you to memorize this equation. This equation is going to have a couple of variables in order for you to get to the result. X plus Y equals Z. So now that you know what the equation is, I can mix up the variables all I want, and you'll still be able to get to the end result because you understand the equation and the components of the equation. So if I say X is 1, Y is 2, you know what the result is. If I mix it up and say X is 5, Y is 7, you know what the result is. The challenge comes if I say, okay, Terry, X is 4, what's the result? Now you're guessing. You have no idea in knowing how to get to the end result because you don't have all the components of the equation in place. With that understanding, the marketing equation is comprised of four variables or four components. And, you know, we've put some letters around them or some variable, you know, letters around them so it's easy to kind of equate it to a mathematical equation. But I'm going to give you the actual name of each component. And, you know, the first letter is the initial is basically the variable. The first component is interrupt. You have to get the attention of the prospect or the target market that you're trying to talk to, you're trying to speak with. If you don't interrupt them out of their everyday routine, their busy life, I don't care if they are, busy, taking kids back and forth to soccer practice and trying to go to work, or if they're so busy that they're surfing five different web pages at the same time, multitasking and doing instant messaging at the same time. Whatever they're occupied in their regular everyday world, your job from a marketing role is, first, I have to interrupt them. I've got to stop them in their tracks with what they're doing so that they have the choice to listen to what I would like to explain or to share with them. So interrupt, or in the marketing equation vernacular, the I, the first letter is I. Interrupt is the first component. The next component is engage. So after you get their attention, after you've gotten them out of their normal everyday routine, you've got to engage them. You've got to get them to want to give you their permission to participate in some sort of a two-way interactive relationship. And the engage, if you think about engage from a marketing standpoint, it's important to know that you can't get somebody's permission to pay attention to them unless you've done that first step, which is interrupt, like I said. But now, when you interrupt somebody, there's typically three ways to effectively interrupt them. The first way is, something that you share with them, something that is unusual, different, or out of the ordinary. And that usually interrupts somebody. So, for example, I don't know what your street signs look like over there, but, you've seen the American stop sign.
Yep.
If you were driving down the street and you saw a blue stop sign, that's unusual. That's out of the ordinary. It's going to cause you to look twice. It's going to interrupt you. I don't care if you are caught up in all kind of thoughts and listening to the radio or talking on the phone. A blue stop sign out of the corner of your eye is going to make you look at it a couple of times. The reason being is your brain doesn't want to miss some information that it thinks it should be aware of. So if a blue stop sign pops up, the thing you're thinking is, hey, did they slip a new stop sign in on me and I missed the press release? So you pay attention to that. It triggers your reticular activator in your brain, that subconscious part of your brain that is always paying attention to things so that you can multitask, so that you can live your life on autopilot, basically. If you trigger that reticular activator, then you've effectively interrupted a person. So that's one way. Another way is something that is familiar to them. If for example, you've got a common name like I do, Terry, Mark, that's pretty common. I'm sure you've been out in public, with your group or with your party, and out of the corner of your room or corner of the hall or whatever, you hear, "Hey, Terry."
Yeah.
And it's somebody out who yells out your common name. Now, one thing about your name is it is an effective interrupter for whoever's name it is. So I'm not going to look up when I hear, "Hey, Terry," but you're not going to look up when you hear, "Hey, Mark." But the reverse is even more powerful. No matter what you're doing, if you hear, "Hey, Terry," you've just been effectively interrupted, and you're going to look in the direction that you heard that sound. Now, when you look in the direction that you heard that sound, your brain is basically looking to see if this message that's being emanated is for you. If the person on the other end of the room, if you look up and you see that they're talking to another guy, you're basically going to say, "Oh," or in your case, another girl. Terry could be a male or a female name. You can edit that out. But you're going to basically go back to doing whatever it is that you were doing. You're going to say, "That message isn't meant for me." What you're not going to do is walk over to that person, tap them on the shoulder, and say, "Hey, my name is Terry. You want to tell me what you're telling them as well?" So, for the most part, when you interrupt somebody, you've got to get prepared to do that next stage, which is engage them. And that's the second part of the equation. So if the person who calls out, "Hey, Terry," on the other side of the room is looking at you and using their first finger and giving you one of those "come here" motions, they have effectively engaged you. And now you will get up from what you were doing and walk over and say, you know, what's up, what, you know, can I help you, why am I over here, or what's the deal? But you're not going to engage yourself. Then the reason this is so important in the marketing equation, most businesses spend a lot of time interrupting people. They come up with things that are unusual. You know, Budweiser had talking frogs, and they come up with things, you know, sexy pictures of women, and that's unusual because you don't see, you know, half-dressed women walking around selling, you know, beer every day, but, you know, you see it on TV and it gets your attention. So they do the interrupt part, but when it comes to engage, they assume that the prospect is going to engage themselves. They assume the prospect's going to walk over and say, "Oh yeah, that message is for me too. You want to tell me what you're telling everybody else?" And it doesn't work that way. It, you know, so you've got to really effectively make sure that the engage aspect is very, very focused on making helping that prospect begin to interact and build a relationship with you. This is the very next, I mean, once you interrupt somebody, your marketing has started and the relationship process is ticking. And you've got to make sure that you take them through this process. Think of engage in marketing as this. Think of engage as making a promise to your reader or to the listener that if they continue to read or listen to your message, that there will be some information that will help them make a decision about whatever it is that you interrupted them that got their attention, that they wanted to find out about. So if you think about engage as making a verbal or a written promise that if you continue to read or listen to this message, there's going to be some information that will help you make a better buying decision when it comes to, you know, buying whatever it is that you sell.
So if we're just to interrupt you for a second, if we're talking about an ad, is the engage part the headline?
The engage part actually is our sub-headlines. So sub-headlines, bullet points, things that you can turn around and you can allow somebody to say, should I actually read the fine copy that's in here? And that's an excellent question because the headlines represent the interrupt. You have to have your primary lead-off headline to get their attention, to hit that hot button, trigger that reticular activator to make a person want to listen to or read your message. And don't think for 1 minute that even TV and radio commercials don't have headlines. They do. Everything. Your 60-second elevator script has a headline in it, you know, to start out with. So focus on or realize that the headline is the interrupt part of the marketing equation. The engage basically are your sub-headlines and or bullet points or benefit points that you have that you can compel folks to say, hey, there is some good information here that will help you make a better buying decision. But nobody wants to sit around and just read or listen to advertising that is not relevant to them or not helpful to them. But things that will help them, they want to find out more information, they want to get educated on, which basically brings us to the third component of the marketing equation, which is educate. So you've got interrupt, which is I, engage, which is E, and then the second E, which is educate. And this is now your opportunity to tell folks why you're different, better, more unique than the others that are out there based on the research and the strategy that you put together in the beginning of your marketing planning process. So the educate part helps people begin to see why they should pick up the phone, why they should click on a link, why they should listen to an audio, why they should download a particular ebook or a particular file, why they should, you know, get in their car and drive across town and come to your location. The educate part helps them logically understand what you're bringing to the table. Another way to kind of look at it up to this point is, you know, most of the folks, and I'm sure you've heard the old saying of, you know, people buy based on emotional decisions, and they justify their purchases based on, you know, logical reasons. And if you look at it from this aspect, the interrupt and the engage are the emotional sides of a person's psyche that really, you know, the things that upset them or the things that, you know, keep them up late at night or the things that they really wish that they could acquire or accomplish or achieve. It's the emotional aspect of their brain or the emotional side of their brain. when once you've satisfied that, they're going to have to logically, you know, be able to communicate to anybody why they've made this decision. You know, if you turn around and you come home with a, you know, brand new Mercedes, and emotionally you set in it and it makes you look good, it's the new convertible and your color matches your eyes perfectly and the whatever, that emotional reason. But when you pull it up into the driveway, you know, and your wife looks at you, or you're going to have to say, well, honey, the, you know, the financing was great, and the this car does this, and it has these kind of, you know, safety features, and that's the logical defense mechanism that everybody just innately has to feel comfortable that they understand and they know why they logically made this decision over the other options or other choices that are out there. So the interrupt and the engage of the emotion, the educate is the logic, and the fourth component that brings us to is the offer. Now, offer, O is in the equation, stands for offer, so the whole equation is I plus E plus E plus O equals your result. So interrupt, engage, educate, and offer. Now, most people hear the word offer, and as soon as they hear the word offer, they start thinking something like, you know, something like a sale or a buy one get one free or a, you know, dollar off type of offer. And the reality of it is that's not an offer to somebody who is not yet ready to buy your product or service or buy it from you, because those are things that they can only benefit from if they decide to do business with you. And if they're not sure as to whether or not they want to do business with you yet, then you're running the extremely high risk of them ignoring or not taking you up on your offer because of the perceived amount of commitment or actual commitment that requires for them to, you know, benefit from that offer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, so the ability to lower the risk of the offer that you are extending is what will tremendously enhance the results of your advertising efforts that you put out there into your, you know, into the marketplace. The lower the risk, the better your opportunity of beginning that relationship with the prospect. And when you start that offer, you make that initial offer with an extremely low risk attachment, where in the case of online, where you make something available for them to, you know, download for free, or you give them a resource that, you know, they typically can't find elsewhere and has a, you know, a true value to it, that relationship begins with them agreeing to interact with your business. And that agreement comes in the form of, sure, I will stop being anonymous. I will tell you something about me. I'll tell you my name, I'll tell you my email address, or I'll tell you my phone number, or I'll tell you my, you know, mailing address, or whatever. But that's the first step that has to happen in a marketing effort, because that now allows you, the business owner, to start to measure and gauge results from marketing efforts. It's not just, hey, I put an ad out, or I put some pay-per-clicks up on Google, or, you know, I have a commercial running, and I know it's out there, and I know I get a few phone calls or I get a few leads a day, but I don't really know, you know, what type of return I am getting on this investment. And it starts with first understanding, out of the people that you get their attention, you interrupt them, you engage them, and you give them a logical reason to take that next step, and they do, you can start to really quantify what type of results that you're getting from your marketing efforts. And with all the cool technologies that are out here for, you know, tracking stuff, I don't care what you're selling, whether it's offline or online, you can take advantage of all these technologies and really track every single one of your marketing efforts offline. I mean, you can be passing out flyers or doing referral programs and tracking all of this using some of these really, really cool technologies that up until this time in the history of business, small business was never able to have this much control and this much impact on how they get their message out and how they adjust and they tweak their message. You know, that's kind of a very big picture preview of the marketing equation. And from a strategic standpoint, if you know what to say to interrupt them, you know what to say to engage them, you know how to educate them, and you know what kind of a low-risk offer to make to them, now you can start turning around and using this in your marketing, your tactical marketing pieces. So we talked strategy and IEEO, and then now tactically you can implement what you've organized in the marketing, you know, using the marketing equation in websites and emails and, you know, voicemails. You can turn around and on your on-hold voicemail system, when callers are on hold, if you have a system like where people call you, you can put IEEO-based marketing information and improve your results from your marketing efforts. It can be applied anywhere to any kind of business selling any kind of product or any kind of service.